it's a gift to say what you want to say to somebody in their last moments. You know that it's going to happen. It's not, you know, I kind of think, oh, if I made it to that door and they told me she was gone versus having another 36 hours with her was better.
Welcome to the Balance Wellness Solutions Podcast with pharmacist Dr. Courtney Sanfelice, where we will discuss all things related to health and wellness, getting to the root cause of health issues, and learning how to create a balance to obtain all of your wellness goals. Hot topics including CBD, gut health, nutrition, immune boosters, Ayurvedic health, women's health, essential supplements, and so many more. Here's your host, Courtney Sanfelice.
Everyone, Dr. Courtney Sanfelice here today to talk about a very important and serious topic that might not seem like a big deal, but it really is. We're going to talk about reflux disease and how it is mistreated by physicians and people self-treating with over-the-counter medications. Today, I have a very special guest who is near and dear to my heart, Jennifer Kaiser. We have known each other for many years. I went to elementary school with her twin brother, Jeff, a very long time ago. But one constant memory was whenever I would be over at their house or whenever I would bump into Mrs. Kaiser, we would always chat. We would always talk. She would always make me laugh. She was my buddy. She was just so fun to be around. At the time when the kids were hanging out in the basement, I was up in the kitchen chit-chatting with her. So I'm so blessed and grateful today that I have Jen on to share her mom's story. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you so much for having me, Courtney. This is like so near and dear to me. And I don't know, it's just kind of kismet that you are doing this and we've known each other for so long. And you know, how good of buddies you and my mom were and, you know, lived in that house of, you know, open door policy. And, you know, my mom was just like a friend to everyone. And I'm sure a lot of that chit chat came along with her, you know, drinking her iced tea and her Coke, like right along with her cigarette, which kind of leads us into, you know, today's topic of, you know, living life to the fullest.
It's so true.
A lot of contributing factors.
It's so true, but you know, it was the best. She was just such a kind spirit and she was just so, her personality was just magnetic. You just drew right into her. And like I said, yeah, like I would just sit and chit chat and we would laugh and goof off and yeah, all the kids were hanging out and I was chilling with Mrs. Kaiser.
Yeah. Kitchen table was the meeting ground with Nance.
Always loved it at your house. So today on our podcast, I'm going to start out talking a little bit about proton pump inhibitors and reflux. And then Jen's going to come in and she's going to share her mom's story. And it's a really powerful one that people should really take heed to and really understand the power of what's going on right now, not just with these medications, but with a lot of different medications and how masking symptoms with medications is not great. It can lead to really serious conditions and problems. And, you know, and this is just one story. So I'll start with my Facebook post the other day. You know, the number one pill dispensed in the pharmacy, and there's a lot of them, is omeprazole, which is a proton pump inhibitor. So what are proton pump inhibitors? They're for reflux. So when you have extra acid or you have gastroesophagus reflux disease, GERD, as most people call it, you take medications such as omeprazole, which is Prilosec, or esomeprazole, which is Nexium, or Protonix, which is Pantoprazole. And basically, these medications can be a good short-term fix for something. They serve a purpose in a specific situation. So they're not terrible, terrible medications. When people do have certain disorders, they really can be helpful. But the thing is they're good for short-term use. They're not really intended for long-term use. And when I say that long-term use, I have customers in the pharmacy that are taking them for 10, 20, 30 years that they've been on them since they were created, and they've been on them for such a long time, and they're just masking symptoms of what's going on of this acid production. So when we say this acid production, what reflux is when reflux actually you regurgitate your acid into your esophagus from your stomach, and that's where reflux comes from. So we take these medications that are supposed to help decrease our acid production. And it sounds like a good idea, you know, oh, let's get rid of the acid. Then we don't have that heartburning feeling. But the problem is that acid really isn't, it's not the bad guy. You need stomach acid to digest your food. You need digestive enzymes. So sometimes people think that just the amount of acid that you're producing is where you need to hit the root cause and treat it with medications, but it's not always the case. So, you know, reducing that amount of acid may stop reflux, but it puts your digestive system in kind of a deficient state that enables you to break down protein properly. We create amino acids that way. We absorb vital nutrients, minerals, micronutrients. It's so important to have that stomach acid, but it just has to be in the right quantity. And it also has to be in the right place in your stomach to break down the food, not in your esophagus. So when you have a production, an overproduction of that acid, that's when it comes up and you feel quote unquote reflux symptoms. But a situation that a lot of people don't understand is that low stomach acid can actually contribute to reflux and actually worsen it. So if you're taking these proton pump inhibitors that are decreasing your stomach acid, you actually are worsening your condition. So a lot of people, if anybody listening is on one of these medications and you've ever tried to go off and just stop cold turkey, it's a problem. You know, you stop and your acid comes back tenfold and it's like, whoa. And then you kind of almost need it or need more of your proton pump inhibitor because, you know, it actually worsens the condition. And, you know, another thing that, you know, I talk about all day is gut health. And when you look at your gut flora, your microbiome, they absolutely destroy and ruin everything that is good in there. It messes with your natural balance of good bacteria. So that's where you can have a balance of bad bacteria, overgrowth. You can have an overgrowth of fungus, parasites, all kinds of crazy stuff going on in your gut. And your gut is your second brain. It leads to so many different things in your body, different, your immune system, your mental health. But again, we could go on about that topic for quite some time. But if you are deficient or you're producing too much acid because of a deficiency, if you are producing too much acid in your stomach, it could be from a deficiency of magnesium. It could be that you have too much cortisol hanging around. You could actually have that overgrowth of bacteria. And the one common one that we see is H. pylori. And that is when people have reflux and the doctor actually does a scope and does an endoscopy and finds that there's a specific strain of bacteria and there's a protocol for that to actually treat the bacteria and get rid of the infection. It could be a sign of hypothyroidism. It could be a sign of eating too much sugar in your diet, your nutrition. So at this point, I'm going to have Jen come in and actually talk about masking symptoms, because if you're not addressing these causes and you're not addressing the problems that could be underlying by simply changing your nutrition, adding a supplement, decreasing a supplement, checking to see if your thyroid function, your adrenal function is in order, that's when you can get this overproduction of acid. And then you're taking a proton pump inhibitor to mask those symptoms. And masking the symptoms is a really bad idea. And Jen is going to tell us why.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, as you're talking, it's kind of, you know, when I saw your post on Facebook and whenever I think about my mom's story, the first thing that my mind goes back to is like memories of getting ready for grade school and my mom making breakfast and lunches and herself a cup of tea and taking Pepto-Bismol. Like, that was the morning routine. You know, she had it in her, you know, eventually by her nightstand. Eventually then it made it into her purse. That was just her constant go-to. You know, not at all am I going to defend my mom's lifestyle. She was a smoker. She loved soda. She loved fast food. She was always on the go. You know, three kids under three. She took care of her parents that were sick. You know, her husband traveled for business all the time. She's basically a single mother juggling a lot. And that's like, oh, you can quantify that. Okay. That's why I have heartburn. Like, you know, I have stress in my life. You know, it was something that I ate that disagreed with me. You know, all these things that we've been programmed to think that it's the food we eat. It's our lifestyle. You know, like, oh, when I catch up on sleep, or, you know, like I get back on track and start eating better, all this will go away. It's all outside factors. It's not coming from within my body, and I'm not doing this to my body myself. You know, I'm not exactly sure. I know the early 2000s, my mom started on Protonix on 40 milligrams. And it's interesting because at the time, my brother-in-law was a drug rep for them. So, you know, it was kind of interesting. And it was like, you know, him explaining it to her, and, you know, her talking to him about it. And, you know, we had all the, you know, things that went along with it, the pens and the Gerty blankets and, you know, like,
yep,
this way that it was marketed as this like cute little critter, you know, like this is what GERD is. And you just pop this pill and you'll be fine. And that's really the first time I had heard the word GERD. You know, before that, it's heartburn, it's agita, you know, like no specific terms, no real knowledge of what's going on. And I would say like it really started to hit home. I had, you know, told you a story, we went out to dinner on a girlfriend's weekend. So there was a, you know, maybe 20 people at like a long table, didn't know everyone. So my mom had like a piece of steak stuck in her throat. I'm sitting across from her and she's kind of like telling me like, don't freak out because like, I don't want to make a scene. She wasn't choking. She could talk and like, but the piece of steak wasn't coming up and it wasn't going down. I would say it was like a good 5 minute struggle before she was finally able to swallow the piece of steak. That was enough to scare her to go to the doctor and have an endoscopy. And that's when they discovered that she had Barrett's esophageal, which is a precancerous condition, to which everyone said, what is that? You know, and I got an education myself, you know, your body, your esophagus sees stomach acid as a foreign invader. It's not supposed to be there. So the esophagus is protecting itself by building up this tissue, which is precancerous. So it was so strange to me that like, I had never heard that, never thought it would lead to something like that. You know, that you could, that, you know, you're doing something to help yourself. And at the same time, it's leading to cancer. You know, kind of things jumbled after that, you know, like kind of sidetracked. It was around 2007. Kind of sidetracked my mom from that. You know, there was weddings and, you know, trying to think, you know, she was having knee replacements. She had a stroke. She had a job loss. You know, there was just so much going on in her life at that time.
And I'm sure she pushed off her own health just to kind of, you know, just to get by every day. It's like you said, it's life, hustle, bustle.
Right. Yeah. Get up, pop the pills, go to work, you know, do what you have to do, be there for your kids. You know, and I think especially women, we always put everyone else first above ourselves. You know, her company went out of business and, you know, she was out of a job in 2012, you know, and, you know, 50 some years old at that point, trying to find a job was difficult. And I remember her applying for Medicaid and being denied because she was making too much on unemployment. So it's, do I pay my mortgage and put food on the table and just buy my prescriptions? Because I can't do both. And then I remember maybe in February of that year, she had stomach pain for days and days and days. And then finally I said, if you don't go to the ER, I'm going to call an ambulance. So she went and, you know, she did not have health insurance at that point. And she went into triage and we went back into the waiting room. And it is probably one of the saddest things I've ever heard her say. And she said, do you think they're making us wait out here because I don't have insurance? Because that's a luxury that she had taken all her life, that I have a job, that I have health insurance. These are things that I can count on. And I'm like, no, mom, no, you know.
It's crazy, right? I know. I see it in the pharmacy all the time. It's sad. It is. There's so many, it's, you know, some of the times we take it for granted, but it's something that's like, yeah, she got into a situation where just exactly how you said, one thing spirals to another, and this is how you end up, and somebody who's worked her whole life. And yeah, exactly that.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, using coupons to, you know, buy medication and discount cards, like just things that she never had to think about, you know, went from there. And then, you know, she was doubled on her dose of Protonix to 80 milligrams. That kind of masked everything a little bit further, you know, and she, it was a good year and a half before she went back to work. And, you know, it was the same thing, the hustle and the bustle, back to work, let me catch up on bills. I, you know, 90 days for my health insurance to kick in. I don't want to take off right away because, you know, it's a bad impression on my employers, you know, the round and round that, you know, you're not going to take that time for yourself. My mom was famous for wanting to pop a pill. You know, she had high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, 2 knee replacements, never listened to the doctors about lifestyle change. You know, roll around to May of 2016. And, you know, again, she's doubled over with stomach pain, has health insurance at this point. And, you know, same threat, you know, if you don't go, I'm going to call an ambulance. You know, we went to the emergency room and I kind of laughed and just said, you know, like, oh, mom, you know, can you believe it's Friday the 13th? Kind of how it sticks out in my mind. And she had a, turns out that she had a ruptured appendix. And when they went in, there was too much infection, too much scar tissue. The doctor had to close her back up, put her on antibiotics. And was talking to me and was like, oh, you know, when's the last time your mom had a colonoscopy and an endoscopy? And I said, it's been years. And I went on to say this and that and this and that. And he said, oh, are you in the medical field? And I'm like, no, I've kind of had, like, you know, on job training with her.
She made you nurse, Jen.
Because when we went to the emergency, the nurse actually said, do you have any health conditions? And she said, no. And I'm like, mom, you take this, that, and the other thing for, you know, I've been down this road before, you know, you just like scoop the pills into a plastic bag and, you know, hand them over when we get to the emergency room. And like, you have diet into, I'm like, just talk to me, you know, like, she's like, I don't, the doctor gave me medicine, so I don't have them, you know, so, you know, like that was her mindset, you know, when it came to health and medication, you know.
I wish I was a functional medicine practitioner back then and, you know, could have helped. I wish what I knew then, I knew what I know now.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it was, you know, a blessing in disguise. You know, the doctor talked to her, she went for the colonoscopy, endoscopy. Lo and behold, they find a tumor. You know, now we're into July. She has the tumor removed. It's all great. You know, get it taken out. We wait. We get into August. And she goes for the PET scan, which is another thing that most insurances don't cover, which I find mind-blowing. That was another thing that I learned in this journey. And the cancer had made it into the margins. It was 1A, which again, hooray, like that's the best of a bad situation and take care of that. But also she had cancer of the appendix and the lower part of her colon attached to the appendix. So here we go. We go into September, take the appendix out. We go into November, we take part of the colon out. You know, and all in between, you know, it's appointments and tests and doctors and, you know, we're doing all this stuff. And my mom really struggled, you know, with the decision whether or not to try chemo or radiation or go for the surgical option. You know, this is a woman who, like, you know, survived blood clots and a stroke and, you know, no matter what happened, she had such serious medical conditions. Always came out of them unscathed. So, you know, I probably regret to this day that we all talked her into the surgical, not regret, but question my decision, you know, was that the right way to go? You know, it was a 9-hour surgery. You know, those are your two options. And it's a rare cancer. It's an aggressive cancer. And the, you know, the prognosis and the treatment options are not that great. And you know what? No one really even knows that esophageal cancer happens. You know, people I know that are in the medical field are like, I never heard of that. And then when you go on to explain to them that your entire esophagus is going to be removed, and the doctor's going to take your stomach and then stretch it up and attach it is insane.
It's mind-blowing, right? Like right. That can even happen, right?
Right. You know, and, you know, my sister's in the medical field and the doctor was vetted and, you know, Da Vinci arm trained and best of the best. And like, you know, all we got to do is get through this. And, you know, she had a surgery on a Tuesday. Things just didn't go great from the beginning. She had a total of 80 staples that were holding the esophagus in place. She had a chest tube in, she had a feeding tube, and then she also had a tube inserted in her neck because the stomach muscle is still reacting like stomach muscle. So it's placed in there in case you start to spasm, they can pump it and stop you from choking. I mean, this was a life-altering surgery. You know, she was never going to be able to eat or drink the same ever again. You know, my mom's sense of humor was, well, think about all the weight I'll lose. That was her.
Totally something your mom would say. I could see her
trying to make everybody laugh in it, you know, and we're like, are you serious right now? So, you know, of course, you know, and it just kind of went downhill and, you know, switched off with my sister and I stayed Thursday and Friday. And then I just remember my brother coming down to the hospital Friday after work and, you know, she was having a rough day and went into AFib, you know, for everybody, like I kind of say, you know, like on TV shows when they, you know, paddle clear, you know, and they had, you know, taken us out of the room and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, thankfully she made it after three tries. And I just needed to walk in that room and see that she was okay. And I never saw anything like that in my life. Like I never knew the headboard and the footboard of hospital beds could come off. She had the bag in her mouth and they were like breathing, you know, pumping the air for her. And I'm like, okay, this isn't something that you see in real life. Like this is movies and TV shows. They've taken her up to ICU. And, you know, that was Friday, by Monday, she was back down in critical care. And I mean, she's at a top-notch hospital, two patients to one nurse. You know, it was a private wing of the hospital, just dedicated to this doctor and esophagectomies. It's just like you check the boxes, everything was there. Like what could go wrong? And she just, you know, she had some visitors during that week and she just said, I want to rest before I come home. She was set to come home that Friday. She had given me, you know, we had been texting. It was very difficult for her to speak, obviously. You know, I just still remember sitting there. I had her bag packed, everything that she wanted to come home from the hospital. And my phone starts ringing and it's from her cell phone. And I'm like, okay, that's really weird. You know, and it was a nurse calling me. And, you know, if you asked me a couple of years ago, I would have been able to say verbatim what she said to me. And it was just, you know, we're taking your mom into emergency surgery. And I'm like, how is that happening? Like, she's supposed to come home today. And, you know, my brother had the car, you know, my uncle, I don't know. I just didn't even think. And I just called Uber. And I could not get this guy to drive fast enough. And just like jumped out of the car on Broad Street, like ran across. And I got up to the, you know, ICU and they wouldn't let me see her. You know, and my brother and I sat there for probably, I don't know, 7-8 hours.
Like the longest, you know? 7-8 hours of your life.
Yeah. And it was, you know, her surgeon and it was the chief of anesthesiology and kicked everyone out of the ICU waiting room and turned the TV off and just kind of like, okay, she's dead. You know, she luckily had survived, you know, when they cardioverted her, AKA the paddles, one of the staples had punctured her bronchial tube, which is an injury that usually happens to gunshot victims. I mean, that's the impact. They had, you know, tried to put a piece of muscle in the hole, put her on life support, you know, tried everything, dialysis, you know, the whole nine yards. And, you know, it's just this unbelievable situations that just, you know, it just deteriorated and deteriorated. And it was so hard to watch that.
I can't even imagine, Jen. I can't. It's just, my heart hurts for you just to even think to, first of all, just to see your mom like that, but just, you know, just the strength of getting through all of that. And just, I mean, it's just, there's just no words to, you know, that's your mom, you know, and the fact that, you know, that she went through everything that she went through and you literally were getting ready to take her home. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's like, who gets this break? Like, they found cancer in 3 different places of your body. You are a surgical candidate for all of them. You know, my mom wanted, like, had just turned 63, like 6 weeks before that. You know, you're young, you can bounce back from this, like, you know, all this support, you know. And I'm not going to get into what organ failure looks like or what seeing your loved one on life support looks like. It is not anything that I would ever in a million years wish anybody to see for, you know, their parent. And it's like, you know, my brother and I are 37 years old and my sister's 34, and we're having to make this decision, you know, about, you know, there really wasn't anything that they could do, you know, and luckily we had an open discussion, but still making that decision to take your mom off of life support is, in a way, it's horrible. It's the hardest thing that you'll ever do. And in a way, we were given a gift. You know, I didn't make it down there in time before the surgery. I never got to speak to her again. I remember the day of the surgery. That's the when she was leaving for the surgery. That's the last hug that we had. And her whole body was shaking from head to toe. And I'm like, I love you, Mom. I love you, Mom. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Like, you're strong. You know, like, she was just such a strong person. She went through a lot. And, like, you know, and it's just so tough. And, like, I had said to you that, like, the irony is, like, it was the intervention. It was all the years of medication. It was the lack of, you know, lifestyle changes. You know, and you get the death certificate. And it's not cancer. This is how we ended up here. This is not why we're, you know, walking out of a hospital without her.
I know, it's crazy. It's so ironic. You know, like you said, like, oh, she beat everything. She went through all that she went through and was literally cancer free when she passed. And it was the surgical intervention that actually, you know, that actually took her. And it has to be mind boggling, but I understand what you're saying with the life support. You know, it has to be like, I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine being in that situation, other than the fact that you gave your mom peace. You know, she was suffering and, you know, she was in organ failure and I'm sure suffering terribly. So if anything, you know, you guys made the right decision and you gave her peace and she's with God, you know?
Right. And that, I mean, it's a gift to say what you want to say to somebody in their last moments. You know that it's going to happen. It's not, you know, I kind of think, oh, if I made it to that door and they told me she was gone versus having another 36 hours with her was better.
I know what you mean, but you know what? You were an amazing daughter your whole life and you took care of her when she went through all of that. You are deemed Nurse Jen. And you know, you got her through that. She wouldn't have been able to get through all of that with your love and support. So, you know, so it's, you were with her, even though you weren't with her, you were with her, you know, she knew that you were the best daughter that you could be, times 10, you know, times a million.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's, you know, I think it's kind of that full circle part of who my mom was. Like, you know, she was surrounded by family and friends and was, like, at the end given that gift of people coming, being able to visit, you know, being able to, you know, to tell their best friend, you know, their, you know, neighbor of 30. I mean, my mom made friends everywhere. It was just,
of course she did.
Yeah. That people were able to express their love to her in the end, you know, and then, you know, just everybody was able to take their time and say what they need to say. And, you know, of all that came out of it, like, to me, in some weird way, it's like comforting to know, you know, it wasn't like you just got a phone call and that was the end of it. You know,
Nope, I do know. I understand having that peace is important, and having your goodbyes and having that time, it's so important, and to feel okay about it and to feel at peace about it inside, and you know, to know that you've did everything you could through the whole from the beginning to the end, you know, you did everything, and that has to be a good feeling, that you know that your mom knew, you know, you were special, like you were special to her, and you should know that and feel that because you are.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, you know, I can see, you know, we're coming up on 5 years, you know, and I feel like I say that as a reflective point because I've gone through the grieving part, you know, and it's just like, you know, as I was kind of writing things out and going over it, it's like I had the anger at the doctors and the medication, and I had the anger with my mom as well for not making the lifestyle changes. And I still have the moments where I sit there and I'm like, okay, you're not seeing this with your grandchildren. You don't know that I do this. Like, you know, I don't think to pick up the phone and call you anymore and tell you, you know, what's going on. You know, if anybody gets anything from this, you know, please listen to your children when they you know, ask you nicely to, you know, please stop smoking and take your health seriously. And, you know, we kind of turn the tables on our parents when they get older and kind of start telling them, you know, and like, you know, my sister's in the medical field, like I said, and it's just, you know, listen to your body. Your body is trying to tell you something. And I think that's what so many people miss, you know?
Yep. I agree. And I think that, you know, you hit the nail right on the head when you said it. It's like, if you're not addressing what's causing the reflux and you're just taking a proton pump inhibitor and you're just treating a symptom of reflux, you're not treating or healing the issue of what's going on. And there's so many ways to do that. I do it with clients all the time. There's actually a protocol, because when you're on proton pump inhibitors, it, like we were talking earlier in the podcast, you know, it messes with your natural production. And what you get when you try to stop, you get a hypersecretion, and it makes it, you actually have rebound acid reflux. So it's kind of like a spiral. Once you start taking them, it's you almost need more of them. Like you said, at the one point your mom was, when she had gone to the, I think what it was, her first ER visit, and then they increased her protonics, which is usually a 40 milligram dose, to 80 milligrams, you know, so, you know, right off the bat, that's just worsening her condition, not making it better. And it can just lead to a plethora of other things. So there's actually a protocol when I work with my clients where they can actually take like a bunch of supplements and probiotics, like higher doses and stuff, so that they can actually go off of a proton pump inhibitor safely and efficiently, so that they taper off slowly while they're taking, you know, digestive enzymes and some supplements, and actually heal the gut. And then in turn won't slowly go off of the proton pump inhibitor and actually heal the gut and the stomach to stop the reflux, the over reflux production and regurgitation. So, you know, it's not something that you can do cold turkey. You really need to do a whole weaning process. And, you know, that's what I do. That's what, you know, I do as a functional medicine practitioner, you know, and in the pharmacy, when I see people, it's maddening when I see people, oh, how long have you been on? Oh, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 20. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, and that's not what they're intended for. And, you know, this, your mom's story was just one powerful story. And I thank you so much for sharing it, because if it can just help one person to open their eyes to be like, you know what, maybe I should not just pop that pill. Maybe I should find out what's causing this acid reflux. Maybe, right. You know, maybe it could just prevent something terrible from happening down the line. So I thank you so, so much for being on today and sharing your story and being vulnerable, because it's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, I know we were talking the other day, the holidays are coming, and I know, you know, it's just, it's not easy. And somebody like your mom, just not having her around, I know, I send you all the love and hugs and prayers. Yes.
Yeah. I just want that for other people. It's something that, you know, it's something that you can reverse. You don't have to go and, you know, get to this point of no return, you know, like where this point where you're like, how did we go from, you know, tablespoons of Pepto-Bismol to, you know, your grade school children watching that, to your adult children, you know, taking you off of life support. Like, there's so many years and opportunities in between them to make changes. And I just really hope that people listen to that and that you seek out, you know, doctors like yourselves and alternatives, and, you know, not constantly be on this cycle of just popping a pill and going to the doctor when it's too late.
I love that you said all of that, because you hit everything. And coming from somebody who watched your mom suffer from when you were a little kid until you were a grown adult, and seeing that and hearing it coming from you, you know, hopefully it will open someone's eyes, because you hit everything exactly. Just making the lifestyle modifications, you know, to be healthier, you know, to not have to take so many medications. It's all related, and it's all so important. And, you know, and that's my goal, you know, as a functional medicine practitioner, to just know to people, hey, let's get to the root cause. Let's figure out why things are going on, and let's heal and right. Fix what's going on, and not just take the pill and the easy way out. And, you know, again, I thank you so much for sharing your mom's story today.
Thank you so much. I know she's smiling down on us.
I definitely is. She definitely is. I know it. All right. Well, I hope you have a good day, good rest of the day. And thank you again. And I love you.
Love you too. Thanks so much.
All right. See you, Jen.
Thanks for listening. Find us on social media, on Facebook at The Wellness Pharma Chick, and online at our website, balancedwellnesssolutions.net. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, take care of yourself and be well.